What up, witches, and welcome to Witchin' and Bitchin' a podcast. I'm your host, Darren.
And I'm Vicky. How are you all today? I hope you're doing really, really well. And Happy New Year!
Yes! Happy New Year, witches! Woohoo!
We made it!
We got through that thing that was called 2020.
Mm. That's it. So what are we talking about today?
Today. We actually had someone write into us and specifically requesting an episode about Oracle cards and tarot cards and like basically how to read cards. So we thought we would do a two-part mini series about all things related to cartomancy.
Oh, I love that word.
It's so weird that you like that. What is it about the word?
I don't know. It's the mancy part.
Do you like necromancy as
well? I knew that's what you were going to say. No, it's just, I don't know. There's something kind of
mysterious.
Yeah, it's that mysterious, magically kind of feeling. I don't know. I like it. Sounds cool.
Awesome.
I'm going to look at what mancy actually means.
At mancy?
Yeah.
Anything ending in mancy.
What does that particular part of it mean?
Okay. Well, you can get back to us.
I will. I'll let you all know what it is.
Awesome. Yeah. So I thought we'd start off with just a very high level. So this, as part of this series, we're going to start off very high level and you'll have to tune in for part two. Where we're going to go a little bit deeper, specifically on tarot. Because tarot we could do a whole series on tarot alone.
I think you could probably talk about it all year and you still wouldn't have.
Oh, yeah. Especially me. Like, tarot is life, people.
Tarot is life.
okay, starting off from a very high level, obviously there's different ways that you can use cards. So for some people, they just like to use them for daily inspiration.
We just draw
a card and it doesn't matter which, we'll talk about the different types of cards and how you use each of them later, but like, so you just draw a card and you then
that's your daily message or whatever.
Alternatively, you can use it for quiet contemplation. So once you've drawn your card, you can then just sit there and contemplate on it.
It could be kind of a way into inquiry a little bit.
Just to see how it resonates or where it fits.
Yeah.
You can also use it for meditation.
Yes.
Which we'll dive in a little bit more detail. And then lastly, we have divination, which divination means to divine something, which means to, well, the divine is obviously the universal energy. Yep. So to divine something comes from the word diva, but basically it means to basically get that message from universal energy.
From the source.
Yeah, totally. From source.
Whatever that means to you.
So let's, I guess, start with...
Look at you giving all the definition here. I love that.
Wow, I'm trying my best.
I love it.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more technical definitions than what I'm just gave you, but that one will do.
Yeah, that's perfect.
So let's start with the inspiration.
Yes.
Do you draw daily inspiration cards?
I do often. I mean, most days. I'll say most days. I don't always do it, but most days I do.
Do you have a particular type of card that you use for your daily inspiration or...
No, because I kind of, it depends on what I'm feeling for that day.
You're a bit of a flip-flopper.
Yeah, I'm a flip-flopper. I like cards and I have quite a few.
Okay, let's
I have a few.
How many do you have?
That I know you do. I actually don't know how many I have.
Guesstimate. It takes up
two rows on my bookshelf.
Is that all?
Yeah, that's all.
So mine takes up...
Yours probably takes up like 50
like
shelves.
I've got front and back. Two tiered, but then multiple sections. I think the last count I've got around about, it's less than 50, but I feel like it's 50. More than 40. It's somewhere in that 40 to 50.
See, look at you.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't have that many.
Apparently that's not a lot. I know someone that has 3,000 decks of cards.
What?
Yeah.
3,000
decks. She just buys decks of cards. And
Gosh. I thought I had lots, and I reckon I would say I'd have probably about 25 or 30.
Well, even if you use a different deck every day, that would take you like 10 years to get through.
Oh,
3,000 decks.
My brain just gone boom. What?
Yeah.
3,000.
But also think of how much money that would
cost. I know. That's a lot of money. Because, I mean, that's what it is.
Actually...
Wow.
Let's go off on a tangent on this note.
Why not?
So, common question that I get asked.
Yes.
And I see this on Facebook all the time. And I used to always comment, and I try to comment as soon as I saw the post in like the different various channels that I'm in. But then now I'm just at the point where I'm so fucking sick of answering this question. So I'm just not going to bother. And I just keep scrolling. It's the whole thing of, oh, I heard that you're not supposed to buy yourself cards and like, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's bad luck and all this bullshit. And guys, it's a crock of shit. As in, no, yes. Look. Some people believe in it, like to a certain degree. I somewhat believe in it for, like, for example, when people do my course in tarot, but I don't do it because of this old wives' tale of that you have to be gifted cards. I just like to gift my students their first set of cards because I was gifted my first set of cards. So it's more like a, like, because it I was gifted one, I wanted to, like,
you want to keep that going, and it's a beautiful, and it creates a beautiful connection, I think, with it all as well, and a long-lasting connection.
But to be honest, like, if I was to wait for every deck of cards to be bought for me, I'd never fucking get any cards.
I'm sitting here thinking now, I think I might have two decks.
Yeah, same. Two.
Is
the only ones that have been gifted to me.
Yeah, it is. Two is everything else I've bought my own.
Yeah.
I would be. Oh.
Sorry, yeah, no. Let's just put that to rest, that you don't need to wait for someone to buy you a deck.
If you like them, they call to you, the energy feels good.
Would you bring up a good point. Like, I know we'll come back, circle back to what we were talking about before, but that's another thing is, like, people say, well, how do you choose the right deck of cards? And, like, you know, what's the best way to do it or whatever? Like, in my mind, there's no right way to do it. No, it could be any way. Like, I like to go off what the cards look like aesthetically.
Yes.
Because if I don't like the imagery, then I'm not going to connect to the cards and then I'm never going to fucking use them.
I fully agree. I like pretty cards.
Yeah.
Can't help it. I like pretty cards, but it's just like, they just sort of, it's a way that I can then connect to them. Like you said, it's a way of connecting. If I just don't like the imagery, I just kind of go, meh.
Yeah.
And but see, that's because I am a visual person as well. Yeah. Like, I'm very visual.
For me, I also, like, as well as looking at the cards, because, like, I've bought a few decks where I've looked at the box and it has, like, a couple of the cards on there. And the ones that they've chosen on the box were great and I bought it. And then when I look at the rest of the cards, I'm like,
So
those decks never leave my shelf.
Yep. I always Google them now and do it in, like, images.
Yeah.
And I put in whatever the deck is so then you can see, like, more than just, like, those few cards that they put on the top to see if you actually like the rest of them.
Because for me, definitely I have to be able to connect with the imagery. Like, I love a good card that's, like, really good quality artwork, or just something contemplative or whatever. It doesn't have to be too crazy, but, like, I love something that I can connect with visually.
It's got to have something that gives you that inspiration to be able to connect, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. And also then, if they've got, like, a lot of shops these days will have a deck of cards sitting there and you can give yourself a little bit of a shuffle. And like, draw a card out and see, like, what
I like the tester. I like the tester decks.
Yeah. Although, do you know, one of the shops that I go to regularly, I won't name them because I don't want to, like, point it out for this reason, but, like, one of the places that I go to, they only put a few of the cards in the tester deck.
Oh.
Apparently people used to walk through the shopping mall and just, like, nick them.
Oh, what?
And I'm like, who does that? I didn't realize that that's still a thing. Five-figure discount bullshit. So then it's like, when I'm trying to connect with the cards, I'm like, oh, there's only five cards
there's
in here. Where's
five
the rest?
Cards.
Like, oh, the rest of the deck is out back. If you want them, then you'll have to come towards the back of the store and, you know, we'll watch you do it. And I'm like, Jesus.
Oh, that's sad.
It is sad because I'm like, oh, that seems like too much effort. I just won't worry about it.
Wow. Yeah, I was going to say. I know, I'm the same. Look, I'm a lazy witch. Don't get me wrong. Anything like that, no.
Yeah, no. But no, I do like to...
I didn't
like
know that
to,
was a thing.
Yeah, either did I.
I didn't know that was a thing.
But I do like to, connect with the cards through their imagery. Then I like to connect with them by giving them a bit of a shuffle, have a little bit of a look. I also like to have a look and see... okay, pop quiz.
Oh.
Do you have a preference? Do you like borders or no borders on your cards?
I think I like borders.
You like something that has a border?
Yeah, okay. I do, but I don't always, but... Majority.
Do you like text on your cards or completely picture only?
Text.
You like text? And do you like just keyword or do you like a little bit of an intro spiel?
I like just a keyword.
One word. So you don't like it when there's a word and then it has a couple of lines?
I don't mind the couple of lines, but nothing more than just say, like, a line or so. Just a little bit.
Interesting.
Only a little bit.
Interesting.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Because obviously, because different people have different things that they want to do as
well. Yeah, definitely.
Like, for me...
What about you?
The layout has to be on point.
Borders, or no borders?
I used to like borders. Now I'm just like, I like flooded end-to-end kind of coloured.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think.
Do I even have a preference? Let me just look at some of the cards I use.
I know.
I prefer
when they, like, that's what literally... I was just doing too. I'm looking at the cards now. I'm like, do I actually...
No, I actually prefer it when they go in, like, no, edge to edge. Borders. My favourite cards go edge to edge. There's no border. Although tarot cards tend to have a bit of an edge.
They do. That's what I was thinking. They have
those
a lot
do.
Of... Yeah.
But I'm quite impartial to it. Fill the space with image.
Oh, yeah.
I like it to have, though, if it's going to have text, I like it to be a block color behind the text so I can actually find
it. Yes, I do too. I don't like if it's just words. I like to have like a little, I don't know, sometimes they do like a little flaggy thing.
Little flaggy thing, or they just have a block of color.
Block of color, yeah. You need to be able to, it needs to be differentiated from the...
From the main image.
From the image, yeah.
Yeah, and then like I like to have a keyword or... this is if we're talking Oracle and Angel cards, a keyword or like a little one-liner, just a one-liner.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, I also do, I've used this a few times. I also like my Rhythm of Life cards, which have a little incantation.
I like those ones.
Yeah, yeah, so see, those I like as well.
And I do like ones that have like little, like if they're, this is really Oracle, I guess, that we're talking about, that they have bit like that where they have like a little incantation or they have like a little magic thing to do or a little ritual or a particular saying or something. Like I like something that has a little bit extra
as a to-do task after you've done the
I do like that.
That's what's actually inspired me to do this course that I'm doing with Laura Bowen. So I'm actually doing a course with Laura Bowen. She's created a couple of decks now through Rockpool and self-published as well, and I'm doing a course with her on how to create my own Oracle deck because I've got some ideas brewing.
I know.
I'm not going to tell you what those are.
Excited.
You know what they are, but I'm not going to tell you what
I know some of them, but yes, I'm excited.
Because I always like when there's like a follow-up action after doing the reading.
Yes, trust me. When these come out, it's going to be awesome.
Just
the follow-up. Yeah,
hopefully that I can get the imagery to be...
You'll get there. It's fine. Don't worry. It'll happen.
But so I like it when there's always something to do or somewhere some ritualistic aspect to it or whatever after the card is... read.
Yeah, because then it takes a bit of that, you're doing something a bit more than just that initial thing. And also if you're not really sure what to, like, especially if you're just sort of starting out and things like that as well, it's really good to have something that you can do without having to worry too much, because I know we can all get in our heads a little bit too much about things.
Oh, see, I once had a deck of cards that had, I say I once had them because I don't have them anymore. I got rid of them because I never used them because I couldn't connect. Like, it was literally just this abstract imagery.
Yeah, but it didn't.
I couldn't connect with it. I couldn't, like, there was just nothing. Nothing was coming. So I was just like, nah. Re-gift.
No.
Re-gift them. Someone else can have them.
Computer says no. No.
Because, like, for me, the imagery on a card is so important because it's like that imagery will help you kind of jump into the meaning.
Yeah.
Let's unpack that a little, actually.
Okay, yes. Let's go into that.
Before we get into like the specifics about the different types of cards, because for me, there's several different ways that you can do card readings. So if for example, you have done, if the person has created a book and it's a considerably thick book,
it's a decent
size. And they've gone
size.
To the effort of writing out like a message, extended message,
a bit
blah,
more
blah,
than
blah,
just a line
all
or two.
That stuff. Like this is like a decent book.
It's not just keywords and then like a couple of sentences. Like if it's a decent sort of few paragraphs on what it is.
Yeah, if they've gone to that effort, especially if you get a book that has like gilding on it and everything, they've gone to effort.
There's some beautiful ones now, I must admit. It's all not just all the little black and white things now. There's usually like the colored cards, there's gilding, there's all sorts of stuff.
So if they've gone to that effort, I think that it's my responsibility to honor the author and actually read what they say is the card meaning. I mean, obviously, if you use them regularly enough, you'll eventually learn the meanings anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe not verbatim, but you'll know the general gist of the meaning.
You
don't need to read it every single time.
Yeah.
But at least when I'm first getting to know a deck, I will literally spend time, even if it's like over a period of however many weeks, like I draw a card each day and then I look up the meaning and I read it and then see how that sits, resonates with me. Yeah. I might meditate on it. I might just sit there and contemplate about it or see how I can relate that to life or whatever the situation
whatever it is.
But then once I've connected with them, then sometimes I just won't read the book at all and I'll just draw my card and then I try to just
intuitively kind of connect. Oh, I see, I like that.
Yeah. Well, actually, so Sasha actually brought up a really good one, and I've never done this until I did Sasha's masterclass. For those who don't know who I'm talking about, Sasha Graham, we interviewed her, well, God, a long time ago now.
About episode 3 or 4, maybe? I don't know.
3 was Fiona. So
it it was 2, so maybe.
It was somewhere in the early stages.
Very early,
Just look for Sasha Graham.
Yeah.
So on her masterclass that we did together, it was that whole thing of like, pulling up the image of the card and then stepping into the image.
Yeah.
I've never done that before until that class. And now I've started to do it where I step into the image and try to, in my mind's eye, if there's a person on it, I try to connect with that person psychically.
Yep. And yes. Like, yeah. That's been something.
Converse with them.
Yeah. Because I mean, that's something that I've started to really do. Like you almost kind of use it like a portal to kind of go into, and you're into another world or wherever. That's,
you love it.
I do.
You love using portals.
I do. I like using portals, but it is. It's really, because then you're really getting into, like you said, it's really getting into that meaning of the card, and you might be conversing with whoever the main person is in that card or animal, whatever it is.
Yeah. No, because that's, again, it's something that I've only just recently started doing since learning that skill. Because like it's like this is the thing. I've learned to read cards like, oh God. I think 20 years ago is when I like officially learnt tarot.
Yeah.
And so with Oracle cards though, because there are literally every deck of Oracle cards, it's whatever the person who's created has come up with. So there's not like a universal theme.
No, there's nothing.
There's nothing to really go with. Even if a card is called the same thing as in another deck, like let's just say that the card's called Balance, the meaning that they've given to Balance might be different to all the other meanings of Balance that I've seen in other decks.
Yeah, because like, it also has the whole energy of the whole deck, like what the theme of it all is and all of those sort of things. Whereas if you're looking at the different tarot cards, they have a similar meaning if they're running off of the Rider-Waite kind of
Rider-Waite Coleman Smith.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's lots of names.
The Rider-Waite Coleman Smith.
There's a lot of names there.
A lot of people just call it Rider-Waite, but I believe it because the person who wrote it was Pamela, so who drew the original artwork was Pamela Coleman Smith. So I like to call it the Rider-Waite Coleman Smith deck because I think Rider was just the publisher. Waite was the author or the person who basically come up with your idea.
Yep.
And then Coleman Smith was the artist. So I call it the Rider-Waite Coleman Smith deck.
Yeah.
Which is, for those that don't know what the hell I'm talking about, it's the ones that you see, like,
it's kind
for example,
of the standard.
High Priestess, the standard.
Yeah, it's the standard tarot.
Standard tarot, yeah. Where you've got certain imagery that is always on the cards, like.
Yeah.
And it's just a slight adaptation of that. So there's a, obviously we'll get into that more.
Yeah, we'll get into
tarot
that more
specifically. But yeah, so obviously there's daily inspiration. So you can just shuffle your cards, draw a card, and then use that as an inspiration for the day. You can sit there and contemplate on the card, meaning like sometimes I'll put one up. If I draw a card out, I'll sit it on my altar. So then throughout the day, anytime I go back to my altar, just it's another visual prompt.
Yeah. That's something I like to do too.
Through meditation. So I usually meditate in front of my altar. Mm-hmm. Or wherever I've got that card, I can sit it there and then meditate in front of it. So then I'm got the visual, close my eyes, and I bring the visual into my mind's eye and then connect with it that way. Or then standard divination, which is using spreads and things like that.
Yeah, to get different meanings and things like that way.
Exactly. So other than those types, so if we were to drill down a little bit more on divination.
Yes.
Now, someone did ask a question saying, how do you read cards?
That's a big question.
It's honestly, it would depend on what I was wanting to know.
Yeah, and it is. It's really the purpose of why you're sitting down doing it, what the purpose for it is, what you're wanting to know.
Yeah, and there are just as many types of spreads as there are types of spreads in the condiment aisle at the supermarket.
Yeah, there really is. There can be, and you can make your own and all the rest of it as well. But I guess.
And the same thing is like, if you get strawberry spread, like a strawberry jam, every company is going to have a slightly different recipe, so they're all going to taste a little bit different. So even if the spread, like a 5-card spread, might be like they might have a different meaning.
Yeah, in different ways.
Or you may give your own meaning to the placement of the cards. Like, so there's more than one way to divine a spread.
There is.
So some people use the classic ones that have been around for ages. Like, for example. Yeah. You might have
a
past, present, future spread.
Yeah, and they're probably the best to always start with anyway, because there's the most information. like easily accessible information. Yeah.
But I guess I like my advice to anyone who's new at cartomancy in any form or new to card reading or divination, start small.
Yes.
Don't go straight in for a 12-month astrological spread or go straight into a 10-card Celtic cross with an aura card dropping intuitively drawn additional cards, two in each position. So you've got 33 cards to read. Like, don't do that.
That's it.
Start small.
Yeah. And that's, I guess, and I mean, probably on the most regular basis, I probably use like either a 1-card or a 3-card.
Yeah.
Really,
1-card or 3-card, yeah.
Yeah, one or
like
three.
If I'm doing a daily, like, and it's just for inspirational contemplation or meditation, I'll do 1-card.
Yep.
If I'm doing divination, I go for a minimum of 3 normally.
Yep.
Just because for me, divination is I'm wanting to get a story, and you, like, whilst you can get a story of 1 card, I want to see how the story unfolds. I don't just want to read the opening page of a book and then be left with that.
Yeah.
I don't like a cliffhanger. No. I want to know what comes next.
I'm like, what happens next? See, this is why I binge watch TV shows, because I can't wait. There's none of this waiting each next week for this episode. Yeah, I need to know what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah.
It does. It depends on what you're doing, I guess.
And as a rule of thumb, though, if it's a daily spread, I would just do 1 to 3.
Yeah.
Depending on the question. If I'm doing past, present, future, then I'm not going to do that every day because future hasn't happened tomorrow.
Every day. And
you know what I mean? Like, if you're doing that every day, it's ridiculous. Whereas
you're not giving yourself much time.
Exactly. So if I'm faced with a problem, however, I might go like situation or question and then option 1, option 2, if I'm like trying to make a choice.
Two ways, choices.
I might say like situation, something that supports the situation, and then something that I need to overcome.
Yeah.
Like, so it might have a positive, negative.
Yep.
Or like past, present, future is obviously standard. What's another one? You could just say like situation, then what's going to come from that, and then what's going to come further from that. Like, it's going future.
Yeah, going,
like, there's basically so many different ways you could
do
it.
There is. And I think that's also, I guess, the thing as well, is that as you go along, you start to then trust yourself in that intuition and being able to then be clear on whatever the question is, and that's where you can start to make your own spreads, so to speak. But it could just be that you've got a particular situation that you're looking for guidance on, so you know what that is. It might mean, okay, this card represents this person, this card represents this person, to give you some idea as well. So
because you could literally do it like, if I've got conflict with people, I'll literally say, I'll shuffle my cards and I'll be like, universe, please give me some guidance, like, you know, what's something I need to know in order to help me get through this conflict. Draw 1 card. And then I see what it means and I get a meaning from that. And I'm like, okay, cool. So what's something that I need to be cautious of when dealing with this person? And I'll drop another one. And then I'm like, okay, cool. And then I'm like, okay. And then what's something that I need to... And then, like, I'll just add, but I'll say out loud what the next card's going to be.
And I think
then the universe
really
knows
thing,
what card it's giving me.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, what are you doing? You're just chucking down a card and it's like, it doesn't really have any kind of specifics attached to it. So I guess that's a really important point as well, is to start to really refine down what it is you're looking for.
Yeah, because you need to ask. And that's the thing, is like, it's important
to ask.
If you're looking for guidance and divining an answer, you need to ask spirit, like, the question that you're wanting to know, and give them a thing so then they know what card to throw out at you. You can't just go shuffle cards, put the cards down and go, okay, now that I've seen them, that one's my past, that one's my future, that one's what I need
that's
to deal
it.
With. Like, you can't
How do you
apply
know?
The meanings that way.
That's right.
You have
That's
to say exactly. what the meaning is before you lay it down. Yeah. Does it make sense?
Yes. Yeah, it does. Yes. Yeah. I think that's the big thing, is to be clear at the start what it is. And then that's not to say that you can't just say, I'm looking for some guidance today, and pull 1 card out.
Yeah.
It's fine.
But even, and this is the thing, like, even someone who, like myself, I've been reading cards for over 20 years, and there's no harm in reading the book.
Yes, definitely.
But I already said this, but, like, just to say, like, it doesn't matter how long you've been reading for, like, I still read the book sometimes.
Yeah, because I think...
Unless it's tarot, because tarot is my shtick. Unless it's tarot, I don't need the book. But, like, for everything else, I will read the goddamn book, because, like, they've put in the effort, they've given the meaning. And sometimes, like, I don't want to have to work for the inspiration for the
book. That's it. That's exactly
It's already written for me.
It's already
so
there.
Might as well just read it.
And sometimes it can add an extra layer onto what you might have already kind of been feeling from that card. anyway. Yeah. And you go, oh, I hadn't thought about it that way, and might give you another little bit of insight. So
exactly.
Yeah, don't be scared to use the book. Just we don't always have to be completely intuitive with everything.
Exactly. Exactly. So I guess, do we want to kind of give a few examples of some of these, the non-tarot styles of decks?
What kind of groups they're often used,
so I would say almost you could group it that you've got divination on one hand and you've got inspiration on the other.
Yes. Yeah, because there's a lot of kind of like affirmation type cards and things like that as well.
So for inspiration, so this is like your daily affirmation type things. I've got specific cards, like I've got the by Gabrielle Bernstein, Miracles Now. I know she's got a few different decks. So these ones are like, they're beautiful because they're like got all the gilding on the edge. They're all silver.
I love that.
But these have got like, for example, you just shuffle and pull out a card. And this is like, there is always a solution of the highest good. That's all it says.
Oh, beautiful.
So it's just a little affirmation. Kind of like a nice little,
like a daily practice kind of thing. Pick a card as you get up.
Yeah, and then I've got these are really cute. They're so tiny. Look at the size of it compared to my
hand. These are tiny, so they're not even as big as your palm of your hand.
They're called happy cards. So these ones, again, they're like written in a very positive manner. I'll just pull out one at random. Oh, I did the same one as before. Maybe there's a meaning behind this. Oh. Like when I was showing Vicky before we went on camera, I literally opened card and it says...
And you've done it again.
I love and accept myself as I am right now.
Wow.
I think there's a message there.
I think there's a big message.
Like, if you don't know what I'm talking about, if you go back and listen to our episode on signs and omens, when the same message pops up multiple times, usually you should take notice.
Yeah, you should start to take notice.
And I literally just like flipped some cards out and grabbed one at random, and that's the one that it was.
Do you know what? That's actually like an affirmation and mantra kind of thing that I've been working with for a while.
Oh, really? Loving and accepting yourself as you are right now?
Yes. Yep. Not exactly the same words, but yeah. Basically.
Oh, good. I'm glad I could be of assistance to reinforce that message.
Look at you. Just to keep reinforcing. Maybe you need it as well.
And then there's also these cards. Now, these are called Calm. So these I just picked up from like an airport. I was flying overseas.
I love that. And I literally like, at the airport.
Oh, like they were literally just in like a news agency and they're just all Calm cards. What are these? I picked them up. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll give these a go.
Give them a go. Calm on the plane.
I love just random cards, and these are like the imagery is not really esoteric, like it's just random things.
Oh, so they're just random different things. So that there's like rain, I think, was on the back of one.
Some of them have dots, some of them have like fire, like it's just random patterns and colors and stuff. And on this one it says like, on the whole, other people are not very interested in what you do. I'm like, okay.
Alrighty then.
I have no idea what that means, but apparently that's a message
That's a message. But you know that if you actually start to break that down a little bit, we often overthink that people are thinking, oh, what do they think about me? Or if I do this, that they're thinking about me. It's like, you know what? Most people are actually more interested
sitting
in their own head in themselves than they are about of what you're doing. So maybe that's what it's talking about.
Exactly.
I hope so.
Now, moving into the next realm. So this is still in the divination, but I wouldn't say this is oracle just yet. I mean, these are technically an oracle deck. However, so this is a Yi Qing set. So the Yi Qing is the Book of Changes, which comes from the Taoism.
Yeah.
So these ones are, there's 64 cards because they're with the 64 different combinations of the Yi Qing. Or I Ching is what some people call it, but it's Yi Ching.
Yes. See, I was one of those. I always thought it was I Ching.
Yi Ching. So these just have like, so you could use it as if you were casting the Yi Ching, like, because
usually they're coins, aren't they? That you throw the coins.
And if it's like up or down, that tells you whether it's
different
like
meanings.
A solid line or a half line, like a dotted line.
Yeah.
And then so when you cast all the coins out, then that's how you make up their little, is it called a not hexagram? I can't think of what it is. It's a something gram.
I'm not sure.
Doesn't matter. But it's like the little pattern.
But it creates it. Yeah.
Solid line and dotted line and whatever. And so then you go through the Book of Changes, which then tells you the meanings of each one of the Yi Qing cards.
Yeah.
So these, I got them in card form. And you can also get things like runes.
I was about to say, you can get the runes. Yeah. I'm trying to think what other ones. I think you can even get, what's it called? The Celtic.
Ogham.
Ogham. There you go. Yeah, you can get Ogham them as cards, well as a card rather than they're little individuals, but yeah. Yep. So they're, I guess they're kind of like the card version of yes. other stuff.
Now, I guess the place that most people start off with cards.
Yes.
When they first little witchlings or, you know, little spiritual people. Yeah. Most people usually, when they're kind of dabbling in it, they'll start with angel cards.
Yes.
It says, for whatever reason, someone believe, like there's people out there that believe, oh, tarot is bad. Angel yes. cards are good.
We think that they're going to be a little bit nicer to us.
But some of the decks I have there are definitely not
nice. I was going to say, I don't think they're I'm like, when you actually get into some of the work with angels and stuff like that, you go a little
they
bit.
They can be very real. Face, like, they just say it with a smile on their face.
Yeah.
Whereas tarot is just like, this is the hard truth, and that's it.
That's it. Suck it up.
Whereas angel cards is the same message, just with a little bit of extra sugar. Like, yeah. You know.
Let's just dab a little bit.
So
yes.
One of the artists that I absolutely love is Tony Carmine Salerno.
Yes.
So
I love,
these
I've got
ones
in my
is
house.
The Angels, Gods, and Goddesses deck.
Ooh.
That I have. So I love this deck. So
it's very beautiful artwork.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. if you go and look up Tony spot T-O-N-I Carmine yes. Salerno, artwork is amazing, absolutely amazing.
Blue Angel Publishing
yep, yep, that's the one. Yep,
yeah.
So that's one of the decks that I love personally. Now I am going to mention this person, even though they've totally denounced all of their work. We have Doreen Virtue. I've got quite a few of her decks, so pre her telling everyone that card reading is the devil's work and blah 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 blah, like when she was still
she was really one of the big that was really all the cards that you could get at one
yeah it was Doreen Virtue
yeah.
So I like this deck, which is the goddess oracle goddess guidance deck. So these ones are nice. And then I went out and quickly bought these. This is a controversial deck.
Oh, I love a controversial deck.
It's her Ascended Masters. So these were the ones that she specifically said when she renounced all forms of card reading. She said she asked Hay House to retract or to like pull them all out of print.
See, I love that.
Recall all decks. And I so quickly ran out and like I purchased them from my local store before they got recalled.
I will keep these.
Yes, because now you can't get them because she's recalled them all. Yeah. Because it's the Ascended Masters deck. And she basically said that the only Ascended Master is Jesus Christ and everyone else is false. So I was like, I want to buy them just purely to say, aha, I have them.
I've got them.
You can't take mine.
No, that's it. You cannot take my cards.
Now, moving into, this is also Oracle, but I just realized all the ones I have here, it's because I particularly like this particular author. two of the three are actually related to angels as well.
Because so like,
I would say that this is the new Angel Whisperer. So Kyle, if you're listening he did say on YouTube, I'm listening.
He did.
So Kyle, if you're listening,
yes,
I'm plugging you again because I want you on our goddamn show.
That's right. That's exactly. And that's why I also knew not to worry about bringing mine out, because I knew you would.
You knew
those.
That I would. Yep.
Yeah.
So we've got, these are three of his decks that I absolutely love. So
yes,
in no particular order, we've got the Angels and Ancestors deck.
They're lovely. I like those ones.
Amazing. Yes.
Yeah, I've only been, you've converted me over recently. So I've been buying them, and those ones I really like.
I like these because they're
with those ones really.
There's
well.
All different
yeah,
spiritual belief systems and everything.
Yeah, that's what I love about them, that his cards aren't, they're not just angel cards or one particular religion or culture or anything like that. They actually have all different types in there, which I really love because I don't always connect to angel
cards. Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah.
Then we've got these ones, which is the Keepers of the Light. So this is another deck of his that I really like. And
yeah.
Again, I really like these cards because they are non-culture specific.
Yes.
So they have representation from all spiritual movements, all religions, all, you know.
All sorts. Yeah,
they're beautiful. So I really, really like them. And then these ones are probably, these are the newest deck that I got. So these only came out not long ago. Jennifer Hawkyard is the artist, or Jez Hawk is her name on Instagram. She's amazing. So
beautiful artwork.
This is the Angel Guide Oracle, and these ones are just like, oh, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, I love them so much that I'm going to just do another quick shout out. So I actually ended up ordering from her website. I ordered a, how do you pronounce it? It's like a glissé print.
I don't know.
Basically, it's like a fancy French word for a digital print of one of her images. And then I chatted to her on Instagram about this particular image. So this is like her rendition of Archangel Michael. And I fell in love with it straight away. So I bought it from her online.
Yeah,
and it's all signed and everything. And it's just, her artwork is amazing.
I know, it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
So Jez, if you're listening, shout out to you. Thank you for your amazing artwork.
Yes.
I wonder if she'll come on the show.
Maybe.
Because intuitive drawing is a hot topic.
Yeah.
Maybe you could ask them both to come. Although then we'd be up for like a 5-part series.
I was about to say, knowing the way that we're talking, it would be for a whole day.
So I figured that I would leave tarot because we're doing this as a 2-part series.
Yes, so we might put that in our other part.
Put that in the other bucket. But yes. So was there anything else that we wanted to discuss about?
Oracle? Well... No, because Oracle is such a, not so much that it's a broad topic, but like you mentioned, that there's no kind of one way, but they're all very individual and they're very specific just to that deck. So it's about really just creating that connection with that deck, that whatever kind of themes and things like that really resonate with you, that's where you kind of go. Like I've got a few of Lucy Cavendish's one, and she has the artwork by Jasmine Beckett Griffith,
mm-hmm.
and they're the little dudes that kind of have big heads.
Yeah, they look like little bobble
heads. Little bobble heads almost. But I love the artwork. So a couple of her decks have those on there. So that's Oracle of the Shapeshifters, and I think there's another one, Oracles of Shadow and Light.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's about connecting. For me, it's connecting with those pictures and the energy of those cards, and I use different ones at different times.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I think that's it. Just go with your gut. You don't have to wait for somebody to come and buy them for you. Go with what you want to go with. And again, most of the, if they've got a decent book in there as well, they'll also give you different spreads to do with the different particular oracles as well. So, you know what? Give them a go first. Always try them first.
And if you're a noob, just keep it simple.
So simple. That's the thing. Like,
start with one card. Just
pull
one card.
A card. Yeah, that's it. Pull a card. It doesn't have to be huge. I know that's usually what I do. I end up creating myself. I freak myself out because I go for like the big, huge thing first. And if I don't understand it all straight away, then it's done. So just start simple. As with everything.
Speaking of starting simple, and because this is our first episode of the new year, I decided I'm going to pull a card for you, Vicky.
Thank you.
From my... Well, not mine, but the Rhythm of Life deck that I love so much.
Ooh, I like this one.
So let me just... I'm asking Universe for a card of inspiration or guidance for Vicky.
Thank you.
And guys, just talking you through, so I'm clearing my mind. I'm just channeling Vicky, picturing her, picturing guidance, all that kind of stuff. And then I felt the need to stop now, so I'm going to flip over the top card.
Yep.
Ooh. So for you, I got Light of the World.
Ooh.
From the heart center, you now shine, taking pleasure in life's blessings so divine. Good health, inner strength, success is assured. Abundance, contentment, and new opportunities are your reward.
Ooh.
So.
Ooh.
That's
I
your
like
little,
that
that's
one.
Your little, and
Thank
this is what it
you.
Looks like for those watching on YouTube. So it's literally
Thank
just,
you.
It's got a little rhyming couplet. And I love these because they feel
I
so witchy.
Them. They do. It feels like a little spell or a chant or something. I love them.
So I can't miss out. So I'm going to do
I was going to say,
me.
You need to do one for you as well. Because I don't have those cards, so I can't do it for you.
So I'm just clearing my mind again. Oh, that's one thing for those that didn't notice. I knock my cards.
Yes.
Just a couple of taps because it just takes the energy back out of them. So it's just a little thing I do. Okay.
And you'll kind of find your own little nuances that you like to do.
Hmm. Interesting.
He always does that when he goes, picks out cards. He always does a little bit of a,
This is interesting because I'm like, what on earth is this talking about? So it's called adjustment.
Oh.
Some you win and some you lose. Adaptability is the path to choose. A change of course, a redirection. What you seek is not perfection. Find the balance and compromise. A second opinion would be wise.
Ooh.
What the hell is that talking about?
I don't know.
I'm going to be losing something. I have to be adaptable. There's going to be a change, redirection. Oh, okay. I'm going to have to ponder on that.
I was going
to
say you need to ponder on that one.
I'm now going to sit on my altar, which is just over
to
here,
keep it.
So I can reflect on that later. Because I now need to know what the hell
I was
going to
say,
about.
What is it?
I'm like, I couldn't just have like a normal, easy one like Vicky. No, it has to be something that I have to sit there and deconstruct and think about.
You're going to have to actually ponder and have a think about.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay. So.
Wow.
Hopefully you guys liked our part one.
Yes.
Yes.
Part one. Yes. Part one of our card series.
A little two-part mini-series on divination and cards. So you have to tune in next episode where we're going to dive deeper on tarot. We've given it its own episode because tarot, oh God, I could talk about it for years.
I know, that's it. It's good. I love that topic too.
Yeah,
so.
And I think I just heard your rooster.
Did you?
Yeah.
See, this is the funny part. I don't even have a rooster. They're all girls. But they like to make noise like they are a rooster.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
My beautiful little cupcake that would have been.
Okay, well, until next
time,
guys.
On that note.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Have a great day. Ciao. See ya.